We do welcome those friends that have joined us here at Ebenezer this evening on this somewhat special occasion, and we hope that they will find in the Spirit present this evening the Spirit of Jesus Christ, appreciating that as we meet church and congregation, pastor and deacons this evening, we meet with mixed feelings in that we meet to bid farewell to a brother in the Lord, a sister in the Lord, and a family that we have seen grow up in our midst, and who have been to us a comfort in many directions, who have been loyal, stable members of our community, and from time to time we have realized the favor and presence of the Lord through their instrumentality. It is obvious that we feel keenly the thought of separation, but nevertheless we are consoled in this, that we believe the separation is consistent with the sovereign will of God. And insofar as that conviction is in our hearts, we would seek the grace of God to give them up to God. And I believe the hymn that we've just sung together, that hymn 373, so applicable to the occasion, is the desire, the united desire of our hearts for the prosperity of the Lord's servant in that sphere which the Lord has, we believe, appointed for him in which to serve him. Now obviously, such occasions as this lead to the exercise of memory. And I have been of past days considering the experiences through which we have passed in relation to our dear friends, Mr. and Mrs. Woodhouse, to me, Clifford and Marcel. And I have noted down a few things from my diaries relating to two important events which have transpired in their experience with me and my experience with them. The first I would refer to this evening is a Wednesday evening, the 24th of July in 1968. I had ventured to preach from the Song of Solomon, and I know that particular portion of the Lord's Word has meant quite a bit to our friend Clifford. And after that service, he came to me and opened his mind a little concerning his exercises to the ordinances of the Lord's house. I received his comments with quietness, and I took home these things and prayerfully considered them before acting upon them. By the Friday, I felt a liberty to go and see Clifford at his own house, which I did, and then I found the exercise more deep and lively as he opened again his heart to me, and the issue was that he expressed his desire for me to proceed with his application for membership of Ebenezer Church. I came back from that house somewhat humbled at the goodness of God in bringing forward this man to the fellowship of our church. But I also carried an exercise in my heart with regard to his wife. And his wife in no wise committed herself as exercised in the same direction. But it was on the Saturday following, the next day, that Clifford called at my home, and when I remember the circumstance, I was busy in my old greenhouse when I noticed him walking up the garden path. I hoped I knew what he was coming for, and yet I had my fears that it was not so, and there came immediately into my heart a very lively conflict. But that conflict was soon quenched as he asked if I would be ready to go to their house and wait upon Marcel, who had expressed her desire to follow in the same steps. Well, within a very short while, I was at their home, and Marcel gave to me her leadings and her desire also to come before the church. And my friends, as I listened, I felt persuaded that the matter was of the Lord. Now on Monday the 19th of August 1968, a special and quarterly church meeting was held, and three persons came forward on that occasion, Clifford and Marcel, and our friend that is not now with us, Mr. James Hickman. They gave their testimonies before the church, and each was unanimously received. Following on that time very closely, we had also had the pleasure of Mrs. Muriel Hipkiss and Mrs. Ruby Hickman, who very shortly afterward went home to heaven. They also came before the church and gave a good testimony of the Lord's work within them. And I noted in my diary concerning that period, the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. And my friends, I felt that such was the blessing of God and the presence of his good spirit in that period of time among us, that it was indeed a time of sweet savour and rejoicing to our souls. Now on Friday the 20th of September, I ventured to preach From the Love of Christ Constraineth Us, and baptized Clifford and Marcel and the other three persons mentioned in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I can say this evening that on that occasion I was not without thought with regard to our friend Clifford becoming a minister of the gospel. But that was such a personal matter that I didn't divulge it to anyone. But that matter was somewhat crystallized in the scripture to which my mind was directed in relation to our friend on that occasion. And that is found in the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the first chapter and verses 11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. To our sister Marcel, I felt led to address those words that are found in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, and verses 11 and 12. It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, my friends, I feel especially with regard to those words this evening that we can endorse them afresh in our thoughts toward Clifford and Marcel as they launch forth into this new area and exercise together in the will of God. So we attended to the baptism of these two persons together with the other three that I have mentioned, and received the five into the fellowship of our church. Now, through the years, we have enjoyed a gracious fellowship together in the things of God from time to time, and especially if we realize the help of the Spirit given to Clifford in prayer as he has taken part in our public prayer meetings. But as a consequence of the exercise in public prayer and the help of the Spirit given, several members of our church mentioned to me from time to time, "Do you think that Clifford Woodhouse will preach?" Now, it doesn't always follow that a pastor must speak his thoughts. My friends, we have to learn to be quiet as pastors as well as to speak, for there is a time to speak as well as a time to be silent. And invariably, I put the question back to the questioner. "Well, do you think that Clifford will preach?" And they invariably enlarge that they felt through his prayers that the Lord had a greater work for him in store. I noted these things prayerfully, and they were consistent with my own exercises in that direction. Well, it was on Thursday, the 22nd of March, 1973, when our friend Clifford, as was his usual custom, drove me to Chaucer Street, Nottingham, where I was engaged to preach. And that became a custom for us to travel together to Nottingham. And I didn't know that the purposes of God were so deeply involved in that custom which was developed, that when I went to that little company to preach, Clifford invariably drove me. When we came to Thursday, the 22nd of March, 1973, Clifford took me, as was his usual wont, and I was led to preach from the 13th chapter of Hebrews, and the 23rd verse. "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty." Now, I spoke, as the Lord led me on that occasion, of the liberating power of the Spirit in the experiences of the Lord's people. How that the Lord liberates a soul in through regeneration, and the Lord brings a sinner under the law, and how the law is bondage. And then the gospel is applied in its efficacious and satisfying gracious power, and the soul is brought to liberty in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the time was running on, but I had another exercise upon my spirit yet to speak on. And that was the liberty set to an exercised soul with regard to the ministry, when the time of the Lord comes for such an one to preach publicly. And as I enlarged upon that last point, just before closing the service, the obvious effect of the word of the Lord was apparent on Clifford's face. I saw the tears flow. I saw him having difficulty with himself, and I felt persuaded the time of the Lord had come. Well, my friends, I resolved, in view of what I'd seen, to say nothing. When we left the chapel, I was determined that Clifford should be the first one to speak, that I was not going to put my hand to the matter. But we hadn't got far from the chapel when his cup flowed over. On that journey from Nottingham back to Old Hill, I shan't ever forget while memory lasts. He told me of his exercises with regard to this great work over a period, and then as we journeyed, the mountains rose. He said, "What will Marcel do? What will the family do? If I'm engaged to preach here and there, what will they do on a Sunday?" And so I could tell that the conflict was very present in his spirit. But nevertheless, the call was prevailing. And so when I bid him good night, I appreciated that I'd left my brother in a conflict. He had a call from God, and yet his spirit was being greatly tried. So I went in home and I prayed. And I felt I mustn't touch the matter for a few days in hope that the Lord would appear. It so happened that Mr. Ramsbottom was preaching at Attleborough on the Saturday some very special services in commemoration of the long history of that cause of truth, and our friend Clifford attended that service. Mr. Ramsbottom's text was so applied as a confirmation to Clifford's heart that he was satisfied that the matter was of the Lord and able to leave the issues in the Lord's hand. But now on Monday, the 26th of March, I went again to the house of Clifford and Marcel and found that the Lord had confirmed his heart and that he was ready for me to proceed in bringing the matter through the order of the church into the open. So I went home and eventually informed the deacons of Clifford's exercises, and we arranged a church meeting for Monday, the 16th of April, 1973, to inform the church of what Clifford had said, and asking the church to prayerfully consider it for 2 weeks, the necessary notice before the church meeting, the special church meeting, would be held to consider the matter fully. Now that was arranged for the 16th of April, but on the 14th of April, that is the Saturday before this special meeting, Mr. Colin Dawson came to preach here my anniversary services. And his text in the afternoon was, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now, my friends, I sat over here. I've been begging of the Lord to give me a confirmation that this matter was of him before it came to the church. And I shall never forget that text being announced and that sermon preached. For I felt the matter was settled before ever the church heard it, that it was indeed of the Lord. And I believe Clifford also has good cause to remember that service, and others also who were present at that time. Well now, I remember Mr. Harris, who's with us here, saying to me immediately after that afternoon service, he said, "Have you been talking to him?" That is the minister, Mr. Dawson. I said to him, "I've said nothing." So remarkable was the ministry that afternoon that I could well appreciate Mr. Harris's question, wondering if I'd been talking to him about what was exercising us as a people, that my friends, I could say before God, from me nor from anyone else, did Mr. Colin Dawson know a thing. We hadn't spoken, he was ignorant, he was led of the Spirit to speak a word in season to us at that time. The church meeting was arranged for Monday the 30th of April. It had to be postponed as I was unable to speak owing to one of my throat turns. And that was a great exercise to me. But nevertheless, we had the special church meeting on Monday the 7th of May 1973, when our friend Clifford was able to give a clear account of the Spirit's leading to the work of the ministry, and he spoke, exercising his gift from the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, the first chapter and verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." His ministry was received, his testimony was received. We gave him the right hand of the church in going forth in the name of the Lord. But my friends, our exercises didn't close there. They didn't terminate at that point. A minister is sent forth by the church, is proved among the churches. We were very exercised concerning that proving period. And we listened to the reports received from near and far with regard to his ministry, and found the Lord gave him acceptance among his people, and we were humbled at the goodness of the Lord to him and to us. But of course, from that moment we realized the possibility that at length the thing for which we are met here this evening would occur. And I felt persuaded from the beginning that Clifford would at length be called to serve as a pastor in the church. I knew not where it was, and have listened to various comments in various places, but my friends, it would appear to us clearly that the Lord's will is to South Chard he shall go. And it is to that place we commit and commend our dear friend and brother in the name of the Lord, in hope that as the Lord has called him to that place and to this work, he will prosper him there and grant him seals to his ministry and souls for his hire. I had read this evening by our deacon, Mr. Boddis, the 127th Psalm, under the continual conviction with regard to my own pastorate and with regard to all churches and especially the exercise of pastors in the church. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. My friends, the church and its building is Christ's work. We are but instrumental. And I do say to our friends from South Char that are with us tonight, don't look to Clifford Woodhouse. Look to the Lord and pray through his instrumentality. As the Lord has sent him to, he will work for the strengthening of his church, the upbuilding of his cause, and to the glory of his own great name. How dependent the church is, but how good the Lord is as a promise-giving, promise-performing, gracious, and all-powerful Lord God. Well, now, I've taken quite a measure of time in going through that little account, but I want just to speak a few words from a word that is to be found in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 11th verse. Second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13, and the first part of verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Finally, brethren, farewell. What is it to farewell? What is it to farewell? Various interpretations would be put upon such an expression, but my friends, the church has its own interpretation to put on this expression. And I believe that is the interpretation of this assembly this evening, as we are met together on this farewell occasion to wish our friends Clifford and Marcel and their family well in the name of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, farewell. Now, what is it to farewell? Well, now, in the interpretation of the church, it is to be led of the Lord. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. To farewell is to have the Lord's presence. And my friends, the Lord's presence is realized in the Lord's leading. The Lord's leading. Except we're led of the Lord, how can we anticipate the presence of the Lord? And I believe that there has been an exercise with regard to leading in the matter of their departure from us to the church at South Charm. And in realization of that leading that has received its confirmations through the intervening months, we can say farewell, farewell. May the presence of the Lord be with you in that place. The Lord promised Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My friends, there is a rest in the Lord's presence, even in the midst of circumstantial trouble. Quiet, peace, calm amidst tempestuous motion, knowing that the Lord is nigh. Farewell, my brethren, May the presence of the Lord so be yours that though we do not envisage an easy, smooth, straightforward, flesh-pleasing pathway, yet if the Lord be with you and his presence enjoyed by you, it will be well, it will be well. Farewell, my brethren. And then, my friends, ministerially, farewell, farewell. To have the help of God and that all-sufficient grace in the performance of God's will and pleasure is to farewell. When the Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness," that bode farewell for the future of the Apostle. He had his thorn in the flesh. He didn't have an easy and smooth pathway henceforward, but my friends, he proved through all the sufficiency of God's grace. Now we say this evening, as we address our beloved friends as they take leave of us, farewell. May the all-sufficient grace of God accompany you as you journey. And may you prove in the unfoldings of the future the absolute perfect sufficiency of that grace in every eventuality and under every need of your future pathway. Farewell, farewell. May the grace of the Lord be upon you and abide with you. Farewell. Well, then, my friends, we say farewell with regard to the responsibility and exercise of Marcel in particular. Farewell. There are increased burdens devolving upon the partner of a pastor. Much wisdom and grace is necessary to know when to speak and when to be quiet, what to do and what to refrain from doing. My friends, may the Lord cause Marcel to fare well in her new responsibilities and under her increased burdens. Fare well. Lean hard upon Christ. He is sufficient to bear your weight under all burdens and responsibilities whatsoever. And as your burdens and responsibilities multiply, may you prove the sufficiency of his strength increasingly. Farewell, farewell. And then we think of the dear family, the children. We've seen them born, all but one. We've seen three of them born and brought up. And they have a very special place in my heart and in the hearts of many in our fellowship. And we wish for them the same benefit. May they fare well. May their parents' God be their God. May the providential dispensations of heaven in moving their lot from Hales Owen to South Chard be indeed a preparatory move to a place of blessing. May that glorious and efficacious Spirit of the living God descend upon them each in due time and quicken them into divine life and bring them to a knowledge of themselves and of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord, Saviour and Redeemer, that those children may not just be the children of gracious parents, but that they may be possessors of like precious faith with them, that that family may fare well in the best sense and be a family united in spirit by the grace of God in time and have the union which lasts eternally in the praise, glory and grace of God forever and forever in paradise. My brethren, farewell. Our desire is with you. Our prayers follow you. We thank God for the period of time that you have dwelt among us and for the union and fellowship we have enjoyed together through the Lord Jesus Christ. We wish you well with all our hearts in your future way and pilgrimage. Finally, my brethren, farewell. So I leave the few remarks, I believe the sincere wishes and desires of our souls as we commit our friends into the hand of God, everywhere present and sufficient at all times to meet the needs of his people, though those needs are many and various in their nature. May I ask our friend Clifford if now he will come forward, please. Now, it is our desire together as a church, Clifford, to give you some tangible token of our esteem and our wishes for the future. We felt we could not do it in a better way than to present to you your dear wife and family with the Word of God. So I have here a Bible which will remain on the table at the conclusion of the service for a little while for you to see, inscribed by our friend Mr. Eric Hipkiss in the following words: presented to Clifford and Marcel Woodhouse and family on the occasion of their departure to South Charn, acknowledging the fellowship enjoyed during the years with us and wishing you all the Lord's blessing in your future pathways. The pastor, deacons, church members and members of the congregation, Ebenezer Strict Baptist Chapel, Station Road, Cradley Heath, December 1975. So, Clifford, there is the Word of God. We commend you to it, and may the Lord bless you in it, bless others through it, and be glorified in all. Together with the Bible, it is my pleasure to present to you, with Christian love from the church and congregation worshipping here, this envelope which contains, in fact, £25 to help you with your
expenses. So, Clifford, the Word of God and a little token of our affection. May the Lord bless you and be with you, as we have remarked. Mr. Harris has just a further little office to fulfill.
My dear friends from far and near, I feel it's an honour to be chosen as a mouthpiece for our men's Bible class at Ebenezer. And I will now read a little letter that we've put together. Dear Clifford, we, as members of Ebenezer Men's Bible Class, shall miss your past prayerful and always welcome fellowship with us. But we feel it's an honour the Lord has seen fit to call one of our members to a higher calling, even to preach in his holy name, and also to call you to become the pastor for that outpost of his one church, South John. Clifford, although a few miles will separate our bodies, we know that our spirit will blend at the throne of grace as we think of past associations. We would continue to pray for you that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Reminds me of the woman at the well. She said, "The well is deep. There is nothing to draw with." You all know what that part of scripture refers to. The woman was amazed that the Lord Jesus said he had water to drink. That was very acceptable to her. And she said, there's nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. There's nothing to draw with. Although we may feel this at times, you may feel this at times, we know, as you have proved it, God is able to supply all your needs. Our desire for you is that the Lord will bless your ministry to the hearts of your people and build up a church in that corner of the country. We would not forget your dear partner, Marcel, and would not forget your dear family, and pray the Lord will bless you together and make you a blessing. It is the wish of us all. Yours in Christian Moore, on behalf of the class, Harold Harris. Please accept this token of our love to you, which amounts to £25 as a contribution from the class and the few outside friends, including our pastor. He's not a real ordinary member of the class. He comes in occasionally and takes office, and in a practical way supported our
well, my dear pastor, friends, the deacons and members of the church congregation, loved ones, friends from other causes around, it is a sad thing in one way to leave a place I have loved. Surely Ebenezer has been a blessed spot to my soul. It's a place where I believe the Lord has met with me on more than one occasion. It's a place where I feel that I've sung his praises from a full heart. It's a place where I bowed my head in shame due to my sin on many occasions. When I've put my mouth in the dust, if so be, there might be hope. But it's a place where I've known the Lord's mercy to my soul. And here, I've made many friends, and true friends, even the Lord's own dear living family. And I would say thank you for all your kindness. Thank you for the fellowship that we've had over the years, the love you've shown to me and to my family. I do pray that you will still pray for us, as we trust we will pray for you. And if ever any of you happen to be in the Chard area, we shall welcome you with open arms to our house and to our church. I'm sure my dear friend with us, the deacon at Chard, and the friends will give you such a welcome should you be in the area. All I can say is thank you for your kindness. I do solicit your prayers, for surely we have found the truth of what the pastor have said in times past. He mentioned that word, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." I remember sat in the back corner, you know, once there under the sound of the ministry when the pastor was led to preach from that word about just over five years ago, when that word was the very word to my soul, as I came in a great need, and I believe the pastor well remembers that time. And this is my desire, that the Lord may go with me, and that the Lord may be with you here, and that our dear pastor might have those souls for his hire and seals to his ministry. We do so pray for it. A time of prosperity at Ebenezer would rejoice our heart. And in the words that our pastor spoke from, I would say farewell, my brethren, farewell, and thank you.
A fitting hymn would be, "Love is the golden chain that binds." My friends, that golden chain will stand a stretch of 100-odd miles, I'm verily sure, without breaking. May the Lord maintain to us that sweet spirit wherever we may be led by his providence, because faith, hope, and charity are these three graces, are the graces of the Spirit. But the greatest of these is charity. May the Lord bless those things that we've attended to, and hear our desires for each other this evening. We will conclude with the hymn 631. 631. thank thee for the Spirit of Christ in the earth. We thank thee, Lord, for the Spirit of Christ in the church. And above all, we thank thee that we're not strange to the Spirit of Christ in our own hearts. And surely, Lord, it can be said, for we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do hear prayer made this evening for our dear friends as they launch forth into this new chapter of life's experience. May the grace of God be upon them, and may the fruits of grace abound toward them. Bless the church to whom they go. May that fruit of the Spirit appear. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord their God be upon them. And establish thou the work of their hands upon them. Yea, the work of their hands establish thou it. We remember, O Lord, the family in a wider sense. We remember the parents this evening that feel doubtless a measure of sadness, feel a wound in spirit as they see the prospect drawing closer, bidding farewell to their loved ones. Strengthen them, Lord, and help them in the bonds of the gospel to give up their son to thy service and his family also. The remaining part of the family we also commit to thee. Lord, help us in submission to thee to rejoice in thy holy will. Grant, we pray here as a church, those strengthenings of thy good Spirit, that there may be added to us such as are ordained to eternal life, that over against such days as these, we may have days of increase, to rejoice in the continuation of that strength and maintenance which the Lord himself alone can grant. We thank thee, O Lord, for every past favour, and beg that thy former mercy, for Jesus' sake, may be multiplied toward us. Do now take us each under thy care. Forgive what has been amiss in this our service. Our burden and desire has been to acknowledge the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ, insofar as we've fallen short. Pardon and forgive our manifold shortcomings. Bless us and be with us each. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest upon us and abide with us, now and forever. Amen.